You know, we're talking about waiting this morning. So what I did was I stood in the back. You know, the worship ended. Stood there, you know, 30 seconds. That's all it was 30 seconds. You ever feel like silence is awkward? So the guys in the back are like, well, what do we do now? The worship team's looking around. I wanted you to experience what it's like for 30 seconds just to wait for something, right? I mean, and then just multiply that by whatever you're experiencing right now. This is church. Right, this is worship. Have you ever notice how, like, you're driving through the McDonald's, Burger King drive-through, and how impatient you are? Dunkin' Donuts, if you're a little bit more healthy, you're just like, man, I just don't like to wait. I just don't want. And so let's walk through Holy Week, is what we call it. Palm Sunday, Jesus is King. Hosanna, He is King. He is someday going to reign on a throne. In fact, He's sitting in heaven at the right hand of God right now. He is sovereign over it all. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the just King. He is the righteous King. He is the King who's going to make everything right. And on Palm Sunday, there's a celebration of this King coming. Three days later, on Thursday, we call it Maundy Thursday, the upper room. They're sitting down with the disciples. To me, it's like almost like intimate Thursday. Like Him and His disciples just like having this moment. You ever have those moments? These like wow moments, like things that you wanted to hold on to. It's like this intimate, I wanted to eat this Passover with you. I want to celebrate the Passover. I want to tell you some things that you need to get in mind. And then there's Friday. We talked about Friday last week when everything falls apart. Betrayal, loss, pain, suffering, struggle, nothing's working. It's like everything's falling apart. Your soul is overwhelmed to death. And let me just, wouldn't it be great if we went from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday? Wouldn't it be, skip the whole rest of the week, but let's go King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Hosanna, save us, and then on Resurrection Day, hey, we're rescued. Wouldn't it be great for that? I'd even take Thursday. Intimate moment with Christ. I get to eat the Passover with you. I get to have this relationship with you. You get to speak into my life. Wouldn't it be great to go from Maundy Thursday to the resurrection of Christ, of like, man, we got victory. Intimacy with Christ to victory. All right. Last week, we know that there's a Friday. You know, suffering, struggle. But wouldn't it be great if we went directly from suffering and struggle to the resurrection day, to victory? Wouldn't it be great if you went through something and all of a sudden, bam, you won? But there seems to be what they call Holy Saturday, which I don't know how holy. This is what I would call it, awkward Saturday. Awkward, you know, you ever like been praying with a group of people and you're like sitting there and someone's praying and they're one of those slow prayers. So they're like, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Be with this person. And you're like, you never know when they're ended. You're like, all right, this is my turn. Should I pray now? Do I have to go? How about maybe you get connected with this one. Maybe you're talking to someone. You're over like at Panera, having a sit down, having some coffee, and your food in front of you. You ask a question, and it's like birds chirping, and you're like, did they not hear me? Why aren't they answering? What do I do from here? Do you ever have? They're just the process, and finally they come. It's like awkward silence. Like you're just like, what do I do here? How do I handle this? And I'm just telling you, Saturdays are tough. Fridays are tough, but I think Saturdays are equally tough as Fridays. Now think about what's happening on Saturday. Peter. For 24 plus hours, he's wrestling with his betrayal of Jesus. He's replaying it in his head. I'm sure he's sitting someplace. The doors are locked. He's worried about being arrested just like Jesus, but he's also like, I can't believe I did that. I wish I could go replay that one. I wish I could have a do-over. I wish I could have a mulligan. And his guilt is just driving, it's just growing up in him. And the disciples, they're like, this is not what we expected. You ever have that kind of waiting? Where you're like, this is not where I thought I'd be. And you're just, God, I know that you're the God of victory. You know, I know that you're the God of the resurrection. I know that you're the God of the Red Sea. I know that you're part of the Red Sea. I know you're the God of the 10 plagues. I know David killed Goliath through you. I know that Peter walked on water through you. I know I just read Hebrews 11 and all the great things the people of the faith did and all the, but right now I'm not seeing that power on display in my life. You're in this season of awkward waiting. It's like, it almost feels like sometimes you're like waiting for God. And you hear this birds chirping thing, and you're like, now I want to move. I want to do something. How about Mary? You think about what she felt on Saturday? The mother of Jesus? Like, this the agony of like, what in the world just happened? How is my son gone? How did this turn so quickly? One day it's like great, and now he's gone, and you're just like, what, God? Here, God, we thought you were going to do something. God, maybe it's this way. You ever hear the verses? We've talked about these verses. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has planned for those who love him. Do you know what that means? That we can't even fathom it? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be power forever and glory forever and ever. Like, to him be glory for what he's done. He can do more than we ask or imagine. He has plans for you. Over in Jeremiah, maybe that's your life verse. I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, give you a hope and a future. And you're like, man, I heard this message over and over again in church about Sunday, about this idea of I want victory. I want resurrection power. I want God to do great things in my life. I want all things to work for the good. I want to get to there. And all of a sudden you're like, but I'm not there. And you either do, you're like, either God's not a God of power, God doesn't love me, or maybe there's another option. Let me just tell you that throughout all of Scripture, there's always a Saturday. There's always a time of waiting. There's always a like quietness. David kills Goliath, right? I mean, amazing thing. People are cheering him. They're like, wow, David, you're pretty good. You're better than Saul. And then he's anointed king. He's like, oh, you'll be king someday. And there were years of like, God, where are you? Why am I living in a cave? Why am I being chased by Saul? Why am I enemies of the Philistines and also enemies of my own people? I have no one. I'm alone, and everyone's pursuing me. Where are you, God? What about Joseph? You know, the coat of many colors? Like, he's the chosen one. He has these dreams, like amazing dreams about what's supposed to happen in his life. You know, he's supposed to, like, his brothers were supposed to bow down to him. You know, if you have siblings, that sounds like a great dream to me, you know, to have them kind of like, you rule over them. And then you find out that they betray, they throw you in a cistern, they sell you as slaves, and then you're gone to Egypt. Then you do your best. You're like, I'm gonna glorify God. I'm gonna glorify God in this. I'm gonna be faithful. And so he's faithful, and he's falsely accused by someone who says, hey, he tried to rape me. Thrown into prison. He's like, all right, God, I'm trusting you this. He's faithful. It's like, all right, I'll just do my best where I am. And he does some things in prison for these guys. He interprets some dreams for them. And they're like, oh, we'll remember you. I'm just saying, he waited. I mean, I don't even know a story in Scripture that they didn't have to wait. Think about the greatest story in the Old Testament. I don't know what you would say it is, but the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and the journey to, that's a pretty great story. I mean, that's, the Passover is centered on that story. Right? I mean, do you understand? That's, if you look at theology of the Old Testament, that's central. You know how long they had to wait for that event to happen? It says for 430 years they were held in slavery till that moment. Now, our country is only, what, 200 and, I don't even know how to do the math on that one, 200 and a few years old. Twice our age as a country. They waited in slavery for God to do something. It's just, it's awkward. Friday is painful. Sunday is glorious. You know, victory is always glorious. Saturday is just frustrating. You ever hear the phrase, the calm before the storm? Well, I think there's another part of that. It's like the calm after the storm. And I don't think it's like a calm of like everything's good. It's like that, like, the sky's clear, but there's chaos all around. You know, it's funny too. As you look at Scripture, there's a lot written on Good Friday. There's a little bit written on Sunday. You know, there's very little written on Saturday. You're like, well, that must mean that's not very important. I'm telling you, I think that in itself says a lot, that there's not a lot written. It means that God was silent. The only verse that we have is Luke, one of the verses, Luke 23, verse 56. It says this. We'll start in verse 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. All right? Jesus is dead. They saw the body wrapped. The body is decomposing at that point. The heart is stopped. The brain is dead. The blood is starting to like solidify. Like it's like crusty now. I mean, Jesus is like cold in the grave. It feels like a period on their 3.5-year journey. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. They went home. They like, I don't even know what to do now. Let me just play this out in your life. Are you in a season of waiting? Are you in a season of like, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know. I'm looking for God to answer, and I'm waiting. And I'm feeling anxiety. I'm feeling frustration. I'm feeling like this awkward silence. Maybe you're waiting for the treatments to take effect. Maybe you're waiting to love again. Maybe you're waiting for a position to open up. Maybe you're waiting for this problem to be solved. Maybe you're waiting for a direction in your life. Maybe you're waiting for a miracle in a situation. Maybe you're waiting for a sign to come of what he wants you to do. Maybe you're waiting for something, or maybe you're waiting for anything. You're just waiting. C.S. Lewis puts it this way in Chronicles of Narnia. It feels like it's always winter, but never Christmas. You're waiting. You're anticipating. You're like, what? Give me something. Let me just, do you know what the emotion, you know, it sounds like, oh, well, waiting. But isn't there a lot of emotion in that waiting? Like think through what you feel when you're waiting for something. Frustration, anger, bitterness, loneliness, just, I don't get it. You have your hand. This is what I want you to do with your hand right now, if you want to take it out. I just want you to put down one of two things really today. One is, what is the place that you're waiting in your life? Where is it that you're like, man, I've been waiting for this. This is what I'm longing for. I'm feeling discontent. I'm looking for God's direction. I want to know an answer to this. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I've been praying over and over and over again. This is what I'm waiting on. God, this is it right here. If you're not in the waiting season, maybe you're in the Friday season. You can put your Friday down. This is what you're going through right now. You can, last week, it's Friday, you know, betrayal, despair, pain. Write down whatever it is that you're either on Friday or you're on Saturday. Write that down on your hand. We're gonna come back to it here in a few moments. But the question becomes this. What do we do between Friday and Sunday? Maybe part of it, what is God doing between Friday and Sunday? What do we need to do in order to survive Saturday? We want to get to Sunday. What do we do in order to get there? Here, I'm going to give you four things this morning that helps us get through Saturday to get us to Sunday. Number one is this. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. He starts and ends with the same one phrase, wait for the Lord. Then he comes back and says, hey, let me tell you again, wait for the Lord. He's like, all right, number one, this seems really simple, but wait patiently for God to do what he wants to do. Now, listen, if you ever had a child, you know that there's like 9 months of waiting. There's 9 months of like going from like, hey, we're having a baby, to like, we have a baby. And then there's 9 months of torture in between. There's 9 months, and what you have to buy the time. Part of it's survival. So I need to wait. I need to wait patiently. 9 months will come, Sunday will come. We just have to wait patiently for God to show up. And I'm just telling you, at the end of it, guess what happens on the end of it? There's going to be something amazing. In fact, something so amazing you almost forget about the 9 months. But you have to wait patiently in the 9 months. All I'm saying is this. Where you start is, all right, God, I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to wait for you. You are in charge. You are in control. I know that you have plans for me. I'm not seeing them right now, but I'm going to wait. I don't, maybe the flip side is this. I don't need it right now, God. I can wait. You will do something, and I'm going to wait. And we have such a hard time with that concept of waiting. Listen to what Isaiah 40:31 says. Those who, do you know the phrase? Wait on the Lord shall what shall they do? Renew their strength. Go back. Those who do what? This says the hope in the Lord. Another version says wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They're like, I know you're waiting, but if your hope is in God, if you're waiting on God, if God's the center of your Saturday, he will renew your strength, and someday you will soar like on wings like eagles. You will run and grow, not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. If you wait on God, he will show up. There will be a Sunday. Number two is this. Saturday is a day of preparation. Look at what Luke 23 said. He says, they went home and they prepared spices. Sometimes God waits, God pauses because we're not ready. Or maybe someone else is not. It's a preparation time. See, you understand this in pregnancy. If you have the baby early, they're not ready yet. There's a lot more struggle when you have a baby early. And so there's something that has got to run its course. God knows what he's doing. He says, just take time to he's preparing something. He's getting something ready. You know, we went back a couple weeks ago. We talked about the law of the harvest, that you sow to reap something. All right, so when you're planting a garden, you put seeds in the ground, and you can get tomatoes later on. That middle season, the waiting season, time, is what we're talking about today. That we're still preparing, we're still weeding the garden in that time. I would think we try at our house to weed the garden. You're still like pruning the plants. You're lifting up the tomatoes, plants. There's things that you're doing while you're waiting for the harvest. You don't just sit back and wait for it. There's work to be. There's preparation to be done. There's a story in the Old Testament about Elisha. And there's a widow who's struggling, just doesn't have enough to eat. And so Elisha says, I'm going to do a miracle for you. I'm going to give you all the oil that you need. But this is what you're going to do. You're going to have to get all the pots and pans, all that you can, and bring it into the house and shut the door. See, there's usually things that we have to do before the miracle comes. They had to do some work. Like, God's going to do his thing, but he wants us to do our thing. We want to get on the same page as God. Say, all right, God, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep working on this. I'm gonna keep doing this because this is what you called me to. And as we do what we're preparing, as we're walking through life. We're doing what we can do. We're being faithful. We're being faithful. We're being faithful. We're doing what God has called us to do. We're not seeing the fruit of it. We're not seeing Sunday, but we're being faithful. We're preparing the ground for God to show up in a powerful way. And waiting time is a preparation time. It's not a waste. Let me just tell you, Saturday is not a waste. Saturday is critical for what God wants to do in your life. Because God is preparing you for Sunday. And so if you skip over Saturday, if you're like, you just give up on Saturday, you're like, I'm done on Saturday, you will miss Sunday. You have to wait patiently and prepare on Saturday to get to Sunday. Let me give you number three. I love what it says. In that same verse 56, it says, they rested on the Sabbath. You know, this is the wrestling match, at least with me. Like, when I'm on my Saturday, when I'm seeing what God wants to do or what I want God to do, and I'm on trying to get there, I want to speed up. I want to kick it into high gear. I'm like, I want to make it happen. I want to figure God's plan out for me before He's ready to tell me. You know, I'm ready to get the coins out. All right, God, I'm not waiting anymore. Give me my quarter. Give me best 2 out of 3, and I'll just give me your will. I'm gonna do it myself. And we want to speed up. And God says, no. On Saturday, you rest. Now, rest seems passive, but I think rest is a choice of saying, all right, God, I'm gonna find peace on Saturday because I know you're in charge. My soul is anxious, but I'm here's what it is. It's taking your eyes off the things that you're wrestling with, putting your eyes on God and knowing that God has it. Can you not rest in that? Listen, if you have kids, you understand this, right? You understand that you're, as a parent, you're like, how do I pay this bill? How do I do this? We got all this, we have tension in our parenting, you know, like, how do we move forward? The kids are like living at peace because they're just like happy, you know. I'm just going to play with my toys. I'm just going to build with my Legos. They don't experience the anxiety that parents do because they're looking at the parents saying, you got it. You take care of that. And so when we're on Saturday, what we want to do is take care of ourselves. And God's like, just trust me. Do you know Saturday is a faith thing as much as Sunday is? Like killing Goliath was a faith step, but waiting is also a faith step. Like sitting through silence and still trusting is faith. Not having everything work out according to your plan and still trusting is faith. Like not having the answer right now, but still walking with God is faith. Faith is just not in the big things of like, God's doing powerful things. Maybe faith is even more strong. Like faith is more alive when nothing's working out your way and you're still holding on to God. At the end of the day, it's this, right? God is bigger than our struggles. God is sovereign. He can handle it. He's good and he's loving and he's powerful and he will work this out. He will somehow, someday, some way, he will give us Sunday. Here's the fourth one. I think we live our life in anticipation of Sunday. Like, on Saturday, our eyes are fixed on Sunday. In the midst of waiting, we know that God will show up at some point. In the midst of silence, we know that God will speak at some point. In the midst of, like, problems, we know that God's going to show up. We know Sunday's coming. We know it. And so on Saturday, we hold out for Sunday. Do you know how much hope that fills you with when you know Sunday's coming? When you know the resurrection's coming, when you know that God, Jesus, is going to conquer death is coming, when you know that all things are going to work out is coming, when you know that in heaven there is just like shalom and peace and life as it should be, that there is a day coming. And this is what he says, our light and momentary trials are achieving for us eternal glory, that Sunday's coming. So in our waiting or in our struggle, we can hold on to Sunday, that God's going to win. So whether you're sitting through the first quarter and seeing your score, you're behind by a lot, you're sitting through halftime, waiting for the next speech, we're sitting through the third quarter, with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you're living in anticipation that no matter what happens through the first four quarters, that the last 30 seconds, God's going to win. Somehow he's going to hit the four-point shot. He is going to win. We live in anticipation of that. So there they are, the disciples sitting around, waiting. Their mind is marinating, wrestling, struggling. Mary's like her heart's breaking. Peter's failing. The world has no clue what's going on, and I think the Father's almost smiling because he knows what's coming. And I'm just wondering, that thing that's on your hand right there, that thing that you wrote down. I know you're in anxiety over it, right? I know that I'm in anxiety over my stuff. And I know there's frustration, but do you ever, like, change views a little bit and have God as, like, son, daughter, I got this. I got this. Stop wrestling with this and surrender it to me because I got it. I'm not going to tell you I got it today, tomorrow. It may not be solved this week. It may not be solved this month. It may not, some of that might not even be solved in this lifetime, but I just rest. Prepare. Expect. Because there's one, God is in control. Maybe the phrase is this. Psalm, I think it's 42, says, be still. Now I probably should give you the background of the scripture. The previous verses are talking about the world in chaos. Think about a huge hurricane coming in. You know, this, like the wind's blowing against the house. You know, the waves are crashing. The storm surge is flowing up. And you can see that just the world is in chaos, right? That's the picture of the first few verses. Then he stops and says, hey, just be still and know that I'm God. Just relax, rest, and know that Sunday's coming. You know, so this morning what we're going to do is the worship team's going to come up, and they're going to lead us in the song. And those hands, all we can do sometimes, we don't have solutions for how to get out of your struggle, but there is one solution. It's this word called surrender. You lay it down before God and say, all right, God, this is yours. And so this morning, those hands are hands that we're carrying something. They were wrestling through something. And this morning, what I want to offer you to do and invite you to do is bring your hands up with whatever you're waiting on and surrender them to the living God. And then find rest in that surrender. Listen. Listen to this. When you surrender it to him, it's his problem. If I had a debt and someone said, hey, I'll take your debt, I'll take it. You hand over the debt, they carry it. You don't have to, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about it. A surrendered life is a surrendered life is a free life. A surrendered life is a peaceful life because you hand over what you have to God and let him do what he wants with it. And guess what? Whatever happens from that point on, that's his fault. That's his deal. That's what he's going to do. And so we don't have to be stressed out about trying to control everything because we can lay it before him. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship. And if you want to bring your hands up, place them at the cross, let me just tell you this. You're doing this as an act of surrender. An act of laying down the very Saturday that you're living in. So let's worship together. Let's pray together as we continue our worship. Lord, we wrestle through this idea of surrender. We wrestle through this idea of waiting. We hate to wait. Our Saturdays seem like forever. We have so much anxiety, so much frustration, so much sometimes angst and bitterness towards you. And God, may we get to this point this morning of trust. That we breathe, that we rest, that we anticipate, that we prepare, but maybe that we would just wait patiently for you. And so we lay our hands down before you. Whatever our anxiety is, whatever our frustration, we place it before you. Because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are sovereign over it all. Your will is perfect. Your plan is good. And we trust you that no matter how long our Saturday lasts, our Sunday is coming. And so we surrender all that we are to you.